Welcome to the Well Podcast. We'd like to thank you for joining us as we discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. Our services are at 9 and 11 a.m. in Artesia, California. You can find out more about us by going online and visiting us at gotothewell.church and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. You are loved.
I made it! So I'm a well shark, and I got beached, and it's not cussing, it's speaking in tongues. We're in Pentecostal church. Oh, man. So, I hurt myself. So I'm going to do my very best to not hurt myself again. I'm excited we have a doctor and some nurses in the house today, so it's always good. But seriously, so I dislocated my knee playing first base, reaching out for a throw from shortstop. And where is he at? Where's Jacob? You up top? Hi, Jacob. There you are. I told him he came in, I'm like, I can't look at you. You're the last face I saw before I went down. He's like, don't kick me out. I said, no, you're pretty good on at hitting. So I just want to first, Erin found out she was teaching that Sunday morning last week, and did an incredible job. So thank you, Erin, for, I more and more, you realize how much community is important when you're hurting. I realize this with my leg, this leg is useless, but this leg makes up for it, and you can't have one without the other. And so that's how community strengthens each other, and not only within church, just your guys' love and support, but even just Erin, just seeing the way that she serves and the way she cares for us, cares for me and our kids, and it's been really neat. So I just want to take a time to just celebrate her, because she's pretty awesome. So before we get into the series, as we finish up part four, talking about intimacy, it would be irresponsible of me to just kind of pretend this stuff doesn't exist. And so as we are facing things within our culture, within media and things like that, a big concern for people right now is that spread of the coronavirus. And I've said it before, stay away from Corona just as much as Bakersfield. So problem solved there. But I just wanted, because I'm not going to take a side on which, if you have questions, we have incredible nurses, we have incredible EMTs, we have incredible doctors here that if you ever have questions, feel free to ask them. And by the way, she's second service, but Savannah, she was my nurse on duty during the softball game that came right out and took care of me when I got hurt. But just want to encourage you, don't live in fear. Like, if you find yourself being overcome by fear, fear is more destructive than any virus. And so if you need to turn off your internet, turn off your TV, do so. However, what I did is, this whole week, by the way, when you're injured, you consume way too much social media and watch too many shows on murder. But I am on Pirates 4, so that's good. But it's just that we can't live in fear. At the same time, we have to be wise, just in general. I just want to throw these things out there just because, again, I know I'm not a medical professional. I know some of you may not even care about this, but just generally, be smart, wash your hands. Just those simple things, because we are in an environment where we gather together with people. Sometimes sicknesses can go around. My mom's been a preschool teacher for 30 plus years, and she's sick constantly because of those little creatures. What we've done here at the Well, even from the beginning, we have sanitation areas, we have tissue, we have all those different things. So just I don't want you to feel like it's not safe to come to church. You know what I mean? It's not safe to be in culture and environment. Same time, if you are sick, stay home and rest. Talk to your employer about working from home options. As almost Jesus. bless you. Blessed be you. And this is something, because one of our Four Square churches up in Bothell, Washington, is the place, the city in which someone had passed away from this. And there's a lot of variables in that. They sent out a good reminder. Like, if you have not subscribed to any of our social media stuff, any of our YouTube channels, if it ever came to a place where we couldn't meet or you didn't feel comfortable meeting, we still want you to be part of community. So it's really important that you do participate in our YouTube and things like that. That way, I'm going to be talking to our team to get our live stream maybe get that out and about more than faster than what it is now. But just so you can enjoy, be part of community, be part of the service and things like that. Just you prepare for the worst, but you expect for the best. So just, again, things like that. And of course, just it's where we submit all things to Christ. We submit all things to Jesus. And so I just wanted to throw those things at you, so we're not ignorant about it, so we're not like, we're just going to love Jesus and pray and just ignore the world around us. No, we have to be very conscious, because people are living in fear, and we have an opportunity to bring hope to that fear. And so we need to be very aware. Again, we don't want to avoid culture. We don't want to replicate it, but we want to transform it. And that's what we've talked about these past few weeks. We've been talking about Into the Taboo and as we move. But we believe that we as people can experience freedom. Right. We can experience freedom. And it comes from discovering, encountering, display love of Jesus. It's not just from getting saved and, okay, great, I'm saved. And then just continuing behavioral and mindsets are going to cause destruction. No, you have to now encounter and wrestle with the realities of who Jesus and what the gospel is about. And then when that happens, you naturally display it. That's a great part. Evangelism is actually really easy. Loving people, living in joy is actually really easy. It's just expressing something that you've encountered and that you enjoy and that you love. It's not hard for me to express to everyone how amazing I think my wife is. It's not hard for me to celebrate when the Seahawks actually win, you know, because it's just a natural thing that just comes out. And that is what happens when you discover the love of Jesus. There's no try. It just overflows from you. But we've been created to experience intimacy with God and people. Isn't that neat to know? When God created us, he did not create us to be separate from one another, but create us to have intimate relationship with one another. Yeah. You know, God likes you. Like, some of you need to hear that. You're not an obligation to God. He likes you. He thinks about you. You go, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've experienced. You don't know. No. He doesn't define you by your sin. Right. He defines you by your his. That's right. You're his son. You're his daughter. And we recognize that because of sin came into the world, there was a separation. And then Jesus was sent to the world not just to live, not just to die, but to be resurrected to life. And did you know that he's coming back? Amen. We like that part, huh? Like, whoo, he's coming back. It's like when you're husband, there are times where I don't want to go into Target. There are times I don't want to go into the grocery store, okay? Because I know a carton of milk is not a carton of milk, okay? And so, but there's an anticipation as I wait in the car, especially now with this leg issue, where I can't wait for her to get back. And that's that anticipation that we feel, and that's what we're going to talk about. See, intimacy is a song. It's a dance. It moves us emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And I have decided that this knee injury is a punishment for dancing on stage 2 weeks ago. Not because dancing is bad, but because Eric dancing is bad. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the importance of sexual intimacy. Last week, Aaron, who did an awesome job, talked about emotional intimacy. Today, we're talking about spiritual intimacy as we talked about relationships, specifically this picture, this symbol of marriage of a man and woman leaving their household to become one with one another. The Song of Solomon is a beautiful song about a couple experiencing this deep love and affection for one another as they pursue each other and they eventually get married, right? We read through even just the first 2 chapters. And what I love about the Song of Solomon, it is like a new couple. who they all they can think about is like themselves. And they just like, hey, Devin, how you doing? Oh, good, we went on a date last night. Like, I don't care anymore. Like, I don't want to hear about it. And that's all Solomon is, just they're just enamored with one another. They're lovesick for one another. That puppy love, puppy sick. You're just like, oh my gosh. Like, sometimes it's a little gross, right? But there's just this deep love, this care that they have one with one another. And at the same time, we see that some scholars suggest that the Song of Solomon is not just a story, a song to be sung at a wedding ceremony, talking about the love between a man and a woman, but it is also a picture of the church and Jesus. And there's a lot of evidence for that, but we have to be careful, because what it does not mean to the original readers, it can't mean to us at first. You know what I mean? Like, because the original readers read Song of Solomon, they didn't know who Jesus was. They had only heard rumors and prophecies and thoughts. So we can't say the Song of Solomon is a prophetic letter talking about Jesus and the church. However, it can be. Okay? Because what we see now in New Testament writing, that God, is through his word, through scripture, is utilizing that picture of marriage and Jesus as a understanding of the relationship that we have with him. And so now what we can do, that we can correlate those passages to Song of Solomon now, okay? Because we want to be responsible scholars of the word. We don't want to take things out of context, right? We don't want to make something say it was never meant to say, because usually when you do that, you're trying to manipulate somebody. And we don't want to do that. So, but because the New Testament backs up that example, we see here in 2 Corinthians, it says, "For I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ." Well, these are themes of Songs of Solomon, just right here. And so we begin to see that this, we can look at Song of Solomon as an example of Jesus's love for the church and the way that he pursues, because it matches up with the rest of Scripture. Does that make sense? I know that was kind of a little exegetical sidestep of just learning how to properly interpret Scripture. But we see that the bride is kind of a symbol of the church, and the groom is Jesus. Now, throughout Scripture, you hear the word bridegroom. That kind of was original verbiage that was used to describe a groom. So if you've ever been married, the woman was a bride, the male was a bridegroom. Okay, we understand that? Okay, we're not getting confused with that. Okay. So we as a church believe that Jesus will return in the second coming of, this is called the second coming of Christ. Or in four squares, we have a soon and coming king. That's one of our four squares, one of our squares of our four squares, is that he is our soon and coming king. So we're going to be looking at a few different verses, and we're going to kind of unpack what that second coming not is going to look like. You know, I'm not going to tell you it's in 2023 on June 1st or anything like that, because we obviously know it's 2025, so... I'm kidding. Okay, just want to throw that out there. Local pastor conspiracy theorists. Okay. 1 Thessalonians, it says, "For the Lord," chapter 4, verse 16, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first," talking about the resurrection of the believers. "Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so we will always be with the Lord." See, where we were once removed from God in the garden because of sin, now that we will be reunited with Christ through the second coming, because of we've given our heart in salvation and we've pursued him. And so he's taking it to us almost, it's this back to the garden idea. So we were exiled from the garden. Jesus comes back to have us go to this garden again, where there is no more suffering, no more shame, no more guilt, no more pain, no more. Have you ever said to God, "I've had enough"? I've had enough. There'll be a time when God says, "Me too. Let's go home. Let's go home." So what happens is, in any kind of wedding, marriage proposal, there's like this anticipation, right? Someone gets asked for you to get married, and there's this like anticipation, the butterflies, everyone's so excited, your Facebook official engaged, like you start, you know, planning your engagement photos, and you know, you do all these things, there's this anticipation, this waiting that happens. Why? Because you're looking forward to something. You're looking forward to something. There's an anticipation. But then there's a preparation, and then there's the actual wedding ceremony. When we consider that church is the bride and Jesus is our groom, we have something that we are awaiting. So number one, write this down. We are awaiting a blessed hope. A blessed hope. Look back even just as we read Song of Solomon, even within the chapter one, there was this anticipation. She would have dreams that her lover had left and she had to go look for him and then find him. And there was this embrace. There was this anticipation for union, anticipation to be with one another. John chapter 14. 1-3. It's important. This is one of those verses like Psalm 23 that's often read in funerals that we miss the meaning of it. We always associate it with something negative because as positive as you can make a funeral, no matter what, if it's a death of a loved one, you're always going to associate this verse with death and with like sadness. And that's why it's important we read scripture throughout all the time, not just in certain occasions. But in John 14, it says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. See, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Now, this is a blessed hope. We're going to read a little bit later in Hebrews. A blessed hope is different than hope. Hope isn't like, oh, I hope my favorite team wins. Or I really hope they have chicken nuggets today. You know, like, or I really hope that I'm getting a great tax return back. Like this is a different hope. This is a hope that changes your life. This is hope that where you were once in this direction, now you're going in this direction. This language is actually language of what would happen is once in ancient times when a male would ask the female to marry him, he would actually leave. And get this, I know this is going to be a tough one to understand. He leaves to go prepare a place for her. He goes to make sure that the house is in order. He goes to either go build the house, go purchase the house, go work for and raise the money to get the house. And then he returns when he has done so, so he has somewhere to bring his bride. See, in the Jewish culture, they take it seriously as that the man and woman should leave their mother and father. And all the baby boomers say amen. Okay, no? Okay. You actually leave the house when you get married. And so this picture says, and this is all familiar language that these Jewish people are hearing, is that when he says this is an engagement. He's not leaving to go start something else. No, this is a promise. I'm returning for you because I have spoken for you. I've spoken for you. This is why it's odd when Joseph and Mary are betrothed and Joseph comes back because he went to go prepare a house for her and she's pregnant. That's one of the other reasons why the betrothed, the groom, would go leave and prepare the house in order so that there is purity, because something happens after engagement. We go, well, we're already technically getting married. So in that culture, you go, oh, we know how to stop that. You go over here. Separate. Rabbits. And this is what's awesome, is that they see, and again, keep this picture of this anticipation that's happening here, is that our hope is not in our flesh. Our hope is in Jesus. In his return for his bride. See, this time that we are in where Jesus is not here on earth, he's ascended to the Father, this is not a time because he hates us or he's rejected us or left us for dead. No, he's preparing a place for us. And we have that blessed hope that he's coming back for us. He is returning. He takes care of all of our needs, all of our cares, and all of our desires will be met. And that is our blessed hope. So, but write this down. Number two, we must remain faithful as we wait. We are all in a season of waiting. Now, we're talking in the context of spiritual intimacy. We are all in a season of waiting. Now I understand some of you are in other seasons of waiting. Maybe it's a job, maybe it's a relationship, maybe, and so you understand this waiting very well. But what if the waiting actually increased your intimacy? There's an old saying of the heart grows fonder. Absence. What was it? It's not in the Bible, so I don't know it. Absence makes a heart grow fonder. See, this is what happens. Our character is always tested in seasons of waiting. Your character will always be tested in this season of waiting. I want to read a verse to you that has oftentimes been misconstrued and often used as abusive. So I'm going to clarify that as I read it, just so you know. And by the way, I know I'm not running around the stage today. So if you start feeling yourself doze off, whoever's next to you, you have permission to just, okay? In Ephesians 5, 22, verse 30, it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." Amen. Hallelujah. Keep reading, right? Context. This verse has been used so much to abuse women in the Christian faith. And it's completely ungodly, unscriptural. And guys, if that's been you, repent, please. "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives submit and everything to their husbands." And like most guys, we're not thorough. We just stop there. But that's why we keep reading. "Now, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved his church and gave himself up for her." Now, let me just, the way that Jesus loved his church is he died on a cross for his bride. Right. Took nails in his hands and his feet and a crown of thorns. He suffered for his bride. Guys, you don't get off easy. "That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy without blemish. In the same ways, husbands should love their wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are all members of the body. Husbands, it's our job to cherish and to nourish our spouse, not to take and diminish and destroy." See, our salvation is actually the beginning of the process. If we're the bride, if we're the one who he's preparing to be spotless, wrinkle-free, then we should probably pay attention, shouldn't we? In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people." Great, you're saved. Woo! "Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for," there it is, "our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of the great God and the Savior Jesus Christ." So as we wait, we get to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. We get to now live self-controlled, upright, godly lives. Why? Because our salvation means we're engaged to Jesus. Do you grab a hold of that spiritual intimacy? See, our purity as we wait equates to our faithfulness. And this is why when the groom goes away, it's the bride's job now. The bride-to-be, her job is to forsake all others. Her job now is to practice self-control. Her job now is to pursue upright, godly living. Why? Because she's spoken for. She doesn't get to go to the local Hebrew pubs and go hang out at the bathhouses and get to go, "Hey, what's up, boy?" Like, that's not how it works. See, when I gave, I actually was just texting him yesterday, the pastor who married Aaron and I, he taught me something about wedding rings that I utilize in every wedding I ever do now, is that they're not only a symbol of that you're spoken for, but they're also a weapon to protect, especially the diamond. It's literally, God says, oh, not God says, but we literally put a brass knuckle on our finger. I'm spoken for it, and I'm willing to fight for it. All right? And hers, the diamond thing, that'll cut you. That's a solid shank right there. Don't mess. See, while the groom goes prepares a home for them, the bride-to-be's job is to remain pure. Her job is now to protect the sanctity of what they're going to be participating in. That she renounces all others, not participating in sexual, emotional intimacy with others. She is waiting for something long-term and won't settle for something short-term. As we wait for Jesus, are you living faithfully to your groom? Are we being faithful? Have we forsaken all others, or do we still dabble in other things? Do we still have something on the side? Just in case he doesn't show up. See, we plan as if he's returning tomorrow, but we live as if he's returning today. We have to plan. We have to do those things. The groom is on his way, and he is coming again. He is our soon, and he is our coming king. So during this waiting, we have to trust him. And we have to seek after our own purity, our own faithfulness in the midst of that. All right, we doing okay? I'm good. Can't feel my right leg. Everything's great. Guess that's the trick. Cut off circulation. I'm kidding. I can feel it just fine. I told her, I said, skinny jeans hold the knee together, right? I don't need the brace. She goes, wear the brace. They're so tight. Anyway, okay. So when Jesus returns for his people, those who know Jesus will be ushered into a party in heaven. See, I don't know what happened in Christian world. I think secular culture hijacked our party culture. Because Christians should be the party animals. Because we have a blessed hope. What do they've got? A red Solo cup and a headache at the end of the day? We got salvation. We've got the Holy Spirit. We've got, like, come on. We've got a joy that surpasses all things. I should have used the party poppers. Go get them. Yeah, go get them. I think it's a party popper time. Okay, you have your keys? Don't go out that door. That door annoys me. Okay, hi. Welcome back. Go ahead and turn to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. You got a tour of the Bible today. I know. Next week, we're starting a new series called Act, and we're spending 8 weeks all through Easter going through the book of Acts and just seeing the way that God moves through ordinary people in incredible ways. And I'm super excited for that, so make sure that you are a part of that. And by the way, welcome all of our YouTube and Spotify podcast listeners. This is the part where Dom's going to edit what I just told Aaron about getting the party poppers out of the car. Revelation chapter 19. This is a picture of heaven. This is, we go into the book of Revelation, we're getting a picture of heaven. God is giving, downloading this image, this idea, this concept into John's brain, who's on an exile on the island of Patmos. And it's just this incredible picture of what we get to look forward to. So it's just a little bit of our blessed hope. It says, and I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude. Great multitude means a really big crowd, and they're loud. Okay? Like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder crying out. This is loud. Like, if you think music in here is loud, you're going to hate heaven. But I guess if you're going to have the perfect frequency, it's not going to bother you. So it's going to be good. But it says, hallelujah, thank you. I'm going to need both of them. Yep, both of them. Oh, yeah, open that one. Okay. It says, hallelujah. Imagine you're walking and all you hear is, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Lord Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory. For the what? The marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Amen. That's your part in the story, by the way. Okay? And it was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. Now, this is what I know about getting married. I've only done it once. But this girl has taught me something. It is not about the ceremony. It is not about the reception. It is not about the groom. It's not about the bridal party. It's about the dress. Because there ain't no wedding happening if there ain't no dress. If she hasn't said yes to the dress, she hasn't said yes to you. Okay? The dress matters. And I know this because I made the suggestion. Does a dress really matter? There are shows, and not just one failed season. Seasons of shows about wedding dresses and the party and the amount of money that goes into these things. I am praying that wedding dresses go out of trend in about, she's 15 to 20 years. Like, I hope it's cool to wear jeans, you know? That's what I'm saying. Paid for jeans. Anyway, okay. No, I'm just kidding. That girl gets whatever she wants.
Let's be real.
We are the bride. What we do matters. And do you realize that the things that we participate in, the things that we continue, our faithfulness after salvation matter? It's not about, oh, don't judge me, or, I'm covered by the grace of God. If you think the grace of God means you can do whatever you want, you don't understand the grace of God. Grace of God, he saved you from the depths of the pits of your hell, and he set you on a new path that you didn't deserve. But now we get to walk on. And so this party, this is when the king arrives. Man, wedding ceremonies are good, right? Those are fun. But it's the reception. Right? You don't see grandma getting down dancing at the ceremony. It's at the reception. I remember at our wedding, we had our first wedding, the first wedding at Life Pacific College. We had a whole reception outside. We were the first wedding they allowed dancing. If you're old Foursquare, you knew that dancing was no bueno. You couldn't dance in Foursquare. But I saw the head administrator for advancement out there on the dance floor. She's probably, I think, 50 or 60 years old at the time. Her and her husband going crazy. And I said, oh my gosh, Linda. Her name's Linda, so it worked. And she goes, I've been waiting 20 years to do this on this campus. And she was super excited. Do you have, Alexis, do you have the music for that we played during greeting that Aaron's super excited about? Okay, can we play that? Receptions are parties. Now, if I wasn't had my knee here, it would be a little bit more of a party, but I'll do my best. But every party, every reception, you walk in, we've done it here, you go in places, they've always got music, right? They've always got music, and there's a celebration that's happening. So go ahead and play that music a little bit. It's not like some wedding ceremonies are like, yeah, but this is like, no, this is chill, this is a
brothers
dance.
And sisters.
Come on, hey, brothers and sisters. All right, cool.
Welcome you,
but there's a party,
tonight.
There's an excitement, and this is what we
back
get to look forward to in heaven. This is our blessed hope,
chapter.
Our blessed assurance that we get to move forward.
Chapter.
We it's going to be a party. Oh, yeah. So as much as I can with a gimpy leg, I'm going to throw a little party. Okay? So I'm going to try this. I don't know how well this is going to go, but I imagine this is what heaven's going to be like a little bit. Every time one of you walk in, I have a toast, I have a speech, hold on, I'll bring it in. Do you realize this is what how we should be practicing heaven every Sunday morning? That's really what, when we come to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, not just on Easter, but every single Sunday, it should be a party. We'll be like, oh my God, you're here too! That's exciting! There's a party going on because God is doing an incredible thing, not just in heaven, but he's wanting to bring heaven to earth now. Amen. And that's the gospel of Jesus. That there's a blessed hope for every single person in this room. There's a blessed hope for every single person outside of this room. Right. We have a blessed hope no matter what trial, no matter what disease, no matter what virus, no matter what politician, no matter what government, no matter, we have a blessed hope, period. So we get to lead people in that way. But I want to make, with the worship team coming forward, God made his intentions very clear. God doesn't play with emotions. We sing a song like that. He doesn't lead you on. He desires spiritual intimacy with you to the point that he doesn't call you his girlfriend or his boyfriend. He doesn't call you like, you know, that Saturday morning hookup, Saturday evening hookup. I don't know what Saturday morning hookup is. He calls you the one who his heart loves, the one whom my soul longs for. He calls you his bride. He calls you the one that his heart seeks after. He pursues you. It's not complicated. Sometimes all you have to do is say yes. Yes, say yes. Now, some of you here maybe have never said yes to Jesus. And some of you, if you said yes to Jesus, but you haven't talked in a while. You haven't texted him back. You're kind of ghosting him right now. And all you have to do is come back. All you have to do is say, you come to the Lord and say, Lord, I want that intimate relationship that you desired, that you designed for us to participate in. The only thing standing between you and Jesus is your decision to say yes to him again. We are in a time of waiting. So take this time to prepare for your king because the party's coming. It's coming. It's going to be a grand celebration. More than two poppers, guarantee. Biodegradable, everything. But I want us to take a posture today. I'm going to invite us to all stand. We're going to prepare to take communion here after the song. And I want to encourage you is take this moment to restore the intimacy with Jesus. And again, all it is saying yes to him. Coming before Jesus and say, Lord, I've walked away. Lord, I haven't thought about you. Lord, I forgot about you. Can we start again? And Jesus says, yes. Yes, we can. In a little bit, Allie's going to come up here and lead us in communion. And as you come up and partake, you can look at this stuff on the ground up here that you can't see right now and be reminded that there's a party waiting. You're invited. You just have to say yes. Let's go before our King.
Thank you for listening to The Well Podcast. If you'd like more information or would like to get connected, visit us at gotothewell.church. Visit us again next week as we continue to discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. You are loved.